there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
And hello there, everybody. Welcome back again to today's episode, today's conversation, back with Hannah, and excited about her joining us. And really, just really pumped up about what we're studying. I know, Hannah, you and I have been talking about this chapter. And one of the challenges we have when we come to you every day is, you know, how much of a chapter do we cover?
Right, because there's so much we can delve into. So it's learning to condense it a little bit and sharing the most important things that we
think. Right. So I think sometimes in studying the Bible, or maybe not studying the Bible, but in, because the Bible is fathomless. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll never mine all of its depths. And so I think one of the challenges for a teacher or a counselor or a pastor is sometimes to plan, what do I not say?
Right. Having the wisdom of choosing what to say, what to not say. You're right.
I know those of you that maybe have been under my preaching systematically, I know some church members might be listening, or former church members might be listening. And one of the things I'll say is, hey, I don't think I'll be long today, which is always an accurate prediction that this is going to be a long message. Because I think what I'm saying when I say that is, I didn't plan to cover much material today. I purposely cut it down because I knew it was going to be longer. Well, again,
there's still more.
There's so much more. And I feel like that's where we are today in Joshua 22, because the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they're heading home. And you can only imagine how excited they are. I mean, they are just ecstatic. Going to go see my wife, going to go see my kids. We've got all the spoils of war. Can't wait to share this with my brother and my cousin. I'm going home. And what's really heartwarming to me is, on their way home, they stop at the Jordan River, which is a natural dividing place. It's a natural division. And they do something very unique. They right at the place of division, I'm going to read it for you. Verse 10 of chapter 22, when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, they built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar. And then the Bible says, to see to. In other words, an altar that you can see from a great distance. And we're going to find out later in the chapter why they built it. They built it because they want people on both sides of the river to be able to look down at the Jordan and say, what is that big, huge altar? Now, you can only imagine how much time it must have taken for them to build that. It's a great altar. It's not like a little building project. It's probably going to take some time to erect this big altar. And they want it to be seen from a distance. And we're going to find out later, the reason for that is they want their kids never to forget, hey guys, that's where we came from. That's where we won the battle. That's where God gave us that land. And on both sides, they can look at the border and realize, well, we're one country under God, you know, indivisible with liberty. I mean, honestly, it's like their flag. It's their symbol.
And it's, I mean, so obviously important to them, because I mean, like you said, it took them so long to do it. They had been gone for 7 years. I mean, from their family. I mean, who wants to stop? To be quite honest, I'd be like, guys, can we keep going? I want to see my family. I mean, but this is important to them. You know, they stopped before they even got home. They said, you know, we need to remember this. We want our kids to look back at this. We want them to know about our godly heritage.
I remember going back, even traveling back from college, and driving home, a 15-hour drive. And like, I didn't even want to, you know, stop at a restaurant. I'm like, I don't want to stop. I want to get home. And yet there was something so important to these men, these soldiers, that they didn't want to forget, and they didn't want future generations to forget what God had done for all of them. And by building this monument, this altar on the border, what they were actually doing is saying, let's minimize our borders. Now, we've got the brethren on both sides. Let's always remember that God worked among us to bless all of us. So this is a really, really good thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they do a really good thing that God did not tell them to do. This is completely out of their own heart, their own desire to remember God, to please God. They do a really good thing. And what do the brethren on this side of Jordan that are not traveling, what do?
They assume their motives. They think they are building the altar for another reason.
Yeah, they think they're engaging in false worship. So they see this. I mean, the altar did its job because it's a great altar to see to. And the brethren that have stayed now look at it, and they make this wild assumption that the tribes that are leaving are going into false worship. They've already built an idol. And so they get their leadership together from Shiloh, a leader from each tribe, and they march on down to these 2.5 tribes to give them a piece of their mind. So it's a total overreaction. You know, how many times in life do we engage in what the New Testament calls evil surmising? And when's the last time you heard a whole message on evil surmising? And we preach on our pet peeves, and we hear messages about our strong preferences, but the Bible has a lot to say about not entering into the sphere of judging people's motives. Now, there's one lawgiver, James told us, who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? From the standpoint of assuming people's motives. And you can always know that you're overreacting to a situation when you enter into a situation by assuming you know why people do what they do.
I've been there.
I have too.
Unfortunately.
I have too. And we like to style ourselves to think, well, you know, I'm good at reading people. And really what we're saying is, I'm good at being God. And that's a pretty proud thing to say, because only God knows the motives. That's why the Bible says about the Word of God itself, that it's the Word of God that discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. And here in Joshua 22, these tribes were overreacting. And one of the ways by which they were overreacting was in accusing instead of asking. Now, I can understand why they would have been confused. Hey, here's this altar. What's going on? Are they entering into false worship? If so, it would be the job of the brethren to say, hey, can I ask you about this? What are you doing here? But instead of accusing, ask. How many interpersonal problems among brethren could be solved if instead of initially overreacting and accusing, we would simply ask? Because all they had to do was ask. But I'm telling you something, not only did they not ask, they got hot and heavy.
And they got all their leaders together, brought them over. It was a whole big deal.
And they used some pretty incendiary language, because it says in verse 16, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this? See how they automatically assume they've sinned. What trespass is this that you have committed against the Lord God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have builded you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? We know why you did what you did. We know why you're rebelling against God. We know your evil heart. I mean, this is just like wholesale evil surmising. And then they said, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Peor referred to back with the Moabites years before, how they had uh, they had intermarried and they had worshiped Baal, Peor. And they're saying, you remind us of what happened years ago. You're just walking in the footsteps of your rebellious forefathers. I mean, what? Yeah, they're calling them names, really. Matter of fact, later on in the same chapter, a few verses down, it said, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass? You're just like Achan. And isn't that just like evil surmising and judging motives? We overreact. We accuse instead of asking. And then we begin to call names. You Achan.
Yeah. And part of the sin is, you know, feeling better about ourselves because, you know, just as you learn in elementary school, you know, they say, you know, the reason we put others down, we just want to feel better about us. And so they're on their high horse and they're accusing them, like you said, without any factual information, without even consulting them. They haven't given them a word in edgewise. They're just saying, like, you're this, you're that. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No,
you're ready to say something.
That's a great thought. No, I was waiting to say, Hannah, that is an awesome thought that they're not letting them get a word in edgewise. They're not giving the tribe a chance to, now they're going to respond, but they're just saying this, and they're assuming these motives. And I love the thought you just brought out, and that is there's a haughtiness here. There's a condescension. Like we're spiritual. Look at you rebelling. Look at how quickly you're wandering from God. All of it is wrong. They could not be more wrong about that. Matter of fact, the motive for which they built this altar is the exact opposite of what they're being accused to do. And listeners, does that resonate with you? Because sometimes the hardest thing in ministry or in serving the Lord or sometimes among our own family or our own church members is to do something that's right and having your good be evil spoken of. That's a very tough thing. Would you agree with that, Hannah?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I would say to me, the toughest thing in ministry is to have your motives misunderstood. Because how do you defend that? How do you defend it when somebody says, I know why you did what you did. I know what. It's just so tough. And you have to give that thing to the Lord. And you have to rest in knowing that what you did was honorable. But we're going to talk about that. Because the answer that the tribes gave. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you accuse me like this, after I had just taken time away from my family on my journey home, helping you for the last 7 years, helping you win your war, and now I did something for the benefit of your children and my children, and you're going to accuse me for that? Well, I'll tell you what, buddy, those are fighting words. But these tribes acted a little bit more godly than Kurt would.
And then Hannah would, for sure.
And we want to find out how they did that. But we're out of time for today. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. It means a world. It means the world to me. I know I speak for Hannah and the guys when I say that as well. I hope you have a great day today. And whatever you're doing today, do it for the Lord. And even if other people don't fully understand it, or even if they speak against it, the one solace we always can have is God is the one that knows the heart, and God is the one that reads the motives. Let that encourage you today, my friend. God bless you all, and we will talk to you next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.